Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Habiballah. Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyyallah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurullah. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم افتح علينا حكمتك وانشر علينا رحمتك يا ذا الجلال والاكرام Amen. والله عز وجل open the doors of knowledge and wisdom for us have mercy Amen. On us O the one who is the most honorable the most gracious بلغ العلا بكماله كشف الدجى بجماله حسنت جميع خصاله صلوا عليه وآله. Welcome dear viewers and listeners of Madini channel. Let's commence our program The Early Echo with this beautiful Hamd Bari Ta'ala. And inshallah Zawajal we are in the company of our respected ulama, Hafiz Uqari, Mawlana Nushad Attari, as well as our respected Mawlana Abdul Qadir, Qadiri Mu'ini Attari. And we commence with this beautiful Hamd Thana. Allahu 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 Allah واحد یکتا ہے ایک خدا بس تنہا ہے Allah واحد یکتا ہے ایک خدا بس تنہا ہے کوئی نہ اس کا ہمتا ہے کوئی نہ اس کا ہمتا ہے ایک ہی سب کی سنتا ہے Allah 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 اللہ اللہ بلبل طوطی پروانہ ہر ایک اس کا دیوانہ بلبل طوطی پروانہ ہر ایک اس کا دیوانہ کمری کس کا مستانہ کمری کس کا مستانہ کون چکوڑ کا جانانا اللہ 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 مولا دل کا زنگ چھڑا قلب نوری پائے جلا مولا دل کا زنگ چھڑا قلب نوری پائے جلا دل کو کر دے آئینہ دل کو کر دے آئینہ جس میں چمکے یہ کلمہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ إلا الله آمنا برسول الله 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 صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم Brothers from the UK, from Tanzania, from Malawi, from Lesotho, from Mozambique and from various parts of the world, we say marhaba, ahlan wa sahlan bikum to all our esteemed viewers and listeners of Madini channel. In today's program, inshallah, Zawajal, we are going to be discussing any sort of grief and harm caused to the deceased. How should one respect and how should one honor those individuals, our Islamic brothers and sisters who left this world with iman, subhanallah, those Muslims who have passed on. How should we behave towards them is our discussion, dear viewers, a very important discussion on your Madani channel. So please stay locked and tuned to, with us until the end of today's episode and program. As per routine, mashallah, let us move towards our first segment called Did You Know? We have our question ready for the viewers, inshallah. And let's see in today's episode and program, how many of our viewers will give us the answer to this question. On which day did Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal create angels? Subhanallah. All the questions are related to Islam, subhanallah. And in this way, we are getting to explore and to learn many other amazing facts about Islam, dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel. So therefore, let's see how many of the viewers, without using the help of the internet or any other kitab or book, would give us the correct answer to this question. On which day did Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal create angels? Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, Mu'asab, the viewers of Madani channel are with us right now. And for those who are sick, we make dua. And on this program as well, we make dua that Allah Azza wa Jalla grants all those who are sick shifa kamila. May Allah Azza wa Jalla grant our brothers and sisters throughout the globe total speedy recovery from all types of illnesses and sickness. Alhamdulillah, Mu'asab, we realize something, Mu'asab, that in this world, just as we have rights upon each another, we respect each another, we show reverence to one another, there's love, there's harmony amongst those who are living, the living beings, right? We have relatives, we have family members, and we have those from our families who pass on. Mu'asab, this world is such that to come in this world, there is a particular sequence and order. But to leave this planet, there is no sequence. We have seen the grandfather bring the grandchild, Mu'asab. And this is one reality. However, Mu'asab, since we lose our loved ones, those with whom we are very much attached, Mu'asab, how does one maintain the relationship even after he's gone? We are speaking about grief and pain itself. Can even one cause grief and taklif to a person who has already left this world, Mu'asab?
Well, yes, one can actually cause difficulty for the mayyit, the one who has passed away. See, we need to keep something in mind that when a person leaves this world, it's not the end of everything.
Right.
Because the soul is still in touch with that body.
Right.
That person has left one alam, one world, and has entered into alam barzakh, a different world.
Right.
We come from alam arwah, one world. So we transition into this world, darul asbab, the world of means. From here, when we leave, because al-maut is the removal of the soul from the body. The soul is the battery. When the battery is out of the car is not going anywhere. So like that, or without comparison, the soul, when it comes out, it doesn't mean that the soul also is destroyed. Yes, one day everything is going to be destroyed. And it will be like how it was, only Allah Azza wa Jal. But until that point, the body will decay and decompose. But the soul is still there. And the soul is in touch with the body. And what the body feels, the soul also feels. Al-Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi has mentioned in Fatawa Rizviya that every Thursday night, which is actually Friday night, the souls visit the homes. Your mayyats, your relatives, they visit your homes. But for what are they visiting? They're not visiting for a cup of tea and biscuits. They are visiting and they stand over there and they look that which of my family members, my spouse, or my children, my brothers, my sisters, that are remembering me, that are sending Isa alayhi sawab to me, that are making dua for me. And if nobody is doing it, I mean, imagine that child, the parent brought up the child, invested in the child, you know, finished off their own youth in order for their child to succeed, but the same child is not benefiting the parents, not sending Isa alayhi sawab. But so if we talk bad about them, they get to know these things.
Right.
In fact, it is mentioned by Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believer, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that a deceased person is hurt by those things in the qabr as which had caused him hurt in the home.
Allah.
So when he was alive, whatever used to cause him hurt and harm in the home, in the qabr, those things still cause the person hurt and harm. Not the physical body, but the soul feels it. Because there's still a connection between the soul to the body. So I must think now, when I'm talking about my marhums who passed away, is it good things or bad things? Because tomorrow when I pass away, how would I want people to talk about me? If I'm in the habit of talking bad about those who passed away, what do you think is going to happen to you? You think people are not going to talk bad about you? It reminds me of the saying that if somebody comes to you backbiting about another, then be sure he's also backbiting about you.
Allah.
So we need to think now, if I only talk good about the ones who passed away, inshallah, when I pass away, people will talk good about me. And it won't be any loss in the qabr, because it can hurt them. It can, you know, harm them and hurt them in the qabr that my own child is talking bad about me. Oh, my mother, my father didn't leave any inheritance for me. And you know, this is one of the signs of Qiyamah, that people will curse their ancestors. They will be closer to their friends and distant from their parents, and they'll curse their ancestors, the ones who came before them. Oh, they didn't leave any home for me, they didn't do this. What are you doing? What are you doing for your next generation? What are you teaching them? And tomorrow you're going to meet. Because they say in Sharh al-Sudur it is mentioned that when you enter into the qabr, when you enter into alam al-barzakh, then your family members who passed away before you, they wait to welcome you. So don't think it's the end. My mother went, my father went, you know, I missed them. You're going to meet them again. Inshallah, if you die with iman.
Subhanallah.
That's the main thing.
This you die with iman, Masab, to they will this welcome world you. With iman. Yes. We all should actually look forward for that. Masab, amazing points you have mentioned, and especially the hadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrated by Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, that the deceased is hurt by those things in the grave that would hurt him in his home as well. So this is the highlight, Masab, what you mentioned. And looking at the hadith of the beloved Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember often that which is a destroyer of every pleasure. And he says, it is more. It is death. So when death is the stop and the destroyer of every pleasure in the world, yani maut ke baad ab kya pleasure hai? Banda dunya mein kya maze lega? What fun and enjoyment will he have in the world when he dies? But dear viewers of Madini channel, he is caused with grief and pain in the grave. And this causes immense pain to the deceased in the qabr when he hears of those bad and evil comments from the family members. Now, Masab, there are various narrations and various ahadith and opinions of ulamas and scholars about this, whether Allah has appointed an angel to take the words of your family members to the deceased or how it's conveyed and passed on. But the comments of the family members, for example, if somebody lost his brother, sister, siblings, parents, and we don't speak good about them, whether friends or relatives, and you had connection with them in the world when they were physically alive, your comments are passed on to them. Just as Masab, the deeds of a person, of a son, for example, is sent to the parents in the qabr every once a week, Masab. Some narrations mentioned regarding the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. The amals and the actions of the ummatis are presented before Huzuri Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. And there's a day designated in the week on a Friday, which is presented to the parents in the qabr, that this is what your awlad has done, this is what your children have done, this is what your offspring has done. And when they see good deeds, Masab, the hadith says they become happy.
Subhanallah.
And when they see the actions are evil and bad, this also causes Allah them taklif and grief in the qabr. So, when they were physically alive, Masab, this is the whole idea and concept, because Islam is based on khabar. Yani, we believe in the unseen, Masab. This is what the Quran Pak has taught us even. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. So, believers have the quality, Masab, that they accept that which is ghaib, which is unseen. And the stronger we have iman upon that, the stronger our faith in iman would be, dear viewers. So, we have to trust the words of the beloved Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our iman is upon that. We love our beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the beautiful guidance which he has given us. Just as we do not, and we are not allowed to violate the rights of those who are living, likewise, we are not allowed to violate the rights of those who are. You know, left this world.
There's this concept that seeing is believing. So people always want to use some kind of logic that, you know, if I can't see it, if I can't understand it, then, you know, I can't accept it. That's not in Islam. Islam, we haven't seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We haven't seen Jannah, Jahannam. We haven't seen the realities of the qabr. But we trust Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's truthful lips and what he told us.
Subhanallah.
So yes, the believer, Islam makes sense. Compared to anybody else, it makes sense. But there is a certain aspect where, you know, because our minds are limited, Allah is unlimited. So you can't, limited can't understand the unlimited. So there is an aspect of, you have to believe in the ghaib as
Subhanallah.
Well.
Subhanallah. Masab, as Masab mentioned about the ghaib now, mashallah, and we also understanding this aspect. We spoke about rights, Masab, and we have stressed on this point on many other programs before as well, regarding the rights of people. Don't violate the rights of others. You got rights of neighbors, you got rights of your parents, you got rights of your brothers and sisters. Masab, can Masab enlighten us? So far we have heard about hukukullah and hukukul ibad, the rights of Allah and the rights of people. Now, the rights of people are restricted to the rights of those who are living, Masab. Do those, are those who left this world with iman also have rights, Masab?
Definitely they do have rights, and it's upon us as the Muslim Ummah. Their rights is fard upon us. Mm-hmm. What a bigger right than it being fard upon the Muslim community that is there. Because it is fardul kifaya to give a Muslim proper burial and janazah and so on. Right? Mm-hmm. So it is, alhamdulillah, fard. Although fardul kifaya, because fardul kifaya is not something that can be taken lightly, because if nobody does in the entire community will bear the burden of that sin.
Allah, Allah.
Of not fulfilling this right of the deceased.
Subhanallah.
As long as that person passed away in the state of Iman, this right is upon us. Allahu Akbar. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made the Ummah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a family.
Subhanallah.
We all are, alhamdulillah, we all are the families, as Imam Razi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says that we are the spiritual children of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is our spiritual father, Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah.
So that makes us a family, alhamdulillah. And to keep this bond, if one family member is hurt, it is mentioned in many narrations that the state of the ummah is like this, that if one person is hurt, it's like one body in the body, one limb is hurt, the other must feel the pain. So likewise, the deceased also, they are part of us. Although they have departed from us and the separation is only that, you know, their soul has left the body, but the soul is still there. The soul is the actual person whom we would refer to as Zayd, Khalid, Umar. That is the soul. Once the soul leaves the body, we call the body body.
Master so and so.
Yes.
Late.
Yes.
In fact, that's one of the first thing the scholars have mentioned, a person loses his
Allah.
Name. Because you don't say that, you know, Zayd is here, we're here to perform Zayd Janazah, we're here to perform the Mayyat.
Allah.
You lost
Allah.
Your name already.
Allah.
Before you buried even.
Allah Hazrat, when he says, it makes complete sense, you know, as to why we do what we do. Allah Hazrat says in the definition of a human being, he says, what is the definition of a human being? He says, human being is the name of a soul that is attached to a body.
Allah.
Is the actual, actually it is the name of the soul. It refers to the soul. The body is just a carrier. Allah.
So the body is just a cage, Masab, to hold the soul. And because we have promised Allah Azza wa Jalla in the world of souls, Alastu bi Rabbikum. We take you to be our Lord. We believe in you. And when we all said Qalu Bala, Masab, all the souls unanimously said Qalu Bala, yes, you are our Rabb. And now we are tested, Masab, on this planet. There are so many other planets around us, which some don't even have oxygen, don't even have air. This is the planet which is living and it's alive, Masab. It has life, and Allah has sent us to this planet to test and see whether we are correct in our statement. And the test is with various types of challenges on this planet, Masab.
Yes.
Good and bad, good days, some days which aren't good for us. In other words, we have sicknesses, we are tested with poverty, we are tested with wealth, we are tested with health. So until we live on this planet, dear viewers of Madani Channel, our aim and objective is to treat this planet as a farm, as per the hadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah. Mu'asab mentioned this world is called alam-e asbab, the world of means, subhanallah. And this world of means comes with a lot of takleefs, a lot of challenges in life. A lot of people have spent the entire 50 years and 70 and 80 years and 100 years just to build a palace and a dream home on this planet. And they spent everything, all their energy and their youth and their progeny is only hoarding and accumulating money more.
It's a wastage of time. One Zimmadar told me, one of our senior Zimmadars, there's an Islamic brother who stays in his area and he's continuously studying in university. And after, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, he say, comes to him and says, see, I got this degree now. I got this degree now. See, how nice, you know, okay, study these things.
Allah.
How nice, imagine
Allah.
If you studied for Darsani.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
And that's going to benefit you. Allah. All these degrees, 4, 5 degrees. What? When your eyes close, how is it going to benefit
how
you?
Going to benefit?
How are you going to benefit others? You know, to prepare for the qabr, prepare for the akhirah. You know, enroll in Darsi Nizami, become an alim edin while you're doing all these other studies. You know, I mean, this is, I mean, subhanallah, we are living in a time where there's mass confusion, Huzur. Especially amongst youngsters out there. You go to university campuses and, you know, it's amazing. The kind of lifestyle that the youth are, I'm talking about Muslim youth. Because they are influenced by others. And you see, they get influenced so much that they think these are now their thoughts and ideas. But there's no focus on, you know what, I'm going to leave this dunya one day. There's no focus on that. Everybody knows we're going to leave. But you know, what preparations am I making?
Allah,
you know, because so. I'm going to leave, who's going to remember me? It's going to be like I, you know, like I never existed. Do I remember my dada, dadi, my great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents? Maybe we don't even know their names. But what we can do is, read Durood-e Paak, read Qur'an-e Paak, send them Isla Sob, Ya Allah, all my marhooms, all the Muslims. Send them Isla Sob. At least you're remembering him in that way. Even if you don't remember their names.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Yeah, that will benefit.
So this is very important, Mawasab. In fact, it is through Islam we learn the rights and the hukuk of even those who have left, Mawasab.
Yes.
That knowledge and ilm will, of course, most definitely assist and aid us to earn a thick lump sum salary, Mawasab. But it wouldn't teach us and show us how to respect and how to adhere to the rights of each another. This is very, very important, dear viewers of Madinah. Mawasab, you mentioned about Farz-e Kifaya and how important it is for people to be involved in this type of rights, Mawasab, regarding the rights of people who have left this world. Now, Mawasab, in many countries you see, look at India, Pakistan, South Africa, maybe the UK as well, and Malawi, and many other countries. Of course, in every country people die, Mawasab, people leave this world and they have to be buried. And every country have their own norms, their own ideas, and their own tor-tariqi, Mawasab, jisam kahenge, when they enter the Qabristan, their own rules and regulations. Sometimes when we enter some cemeteries and Qabristan, Mawasab, we say, Subhanallah, by looking at the beautiful scenery that they have actually created inside, within the Qabristan. Yani, it's a place where Muslims should not forget about, as the hadith of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that people have remembered every other place and have forgotten the most important place, which refers to the cemetery. But cemetery itself, some cemeteries, Mawasab, are such that the animals living there, people defecate upon such graves and around the graves, and people walk and trample upon the qabrs as well. And I'm especially requesting the viewers of Madini Channel out there who are watching this program today, that we may be offered or maybe afforded this opportunity to go to the Qabristan and make dua for somebody. Maybe we aided someone to go to the Qabristan to bury someone, Mawasab. If we ever had this opportunity and chance, what's our tor, what's our tariqah, what's our way of entering the Qabristan? Do we even know the blessed hadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Because our intention of visiting the grave was to send thawab, was to earn reward, but because of not having ilm and knowledge about that, instead we earn guna and sins, Mawasab. Now, look at the pious predecessors, Mawasab. Hazrat Sayyidina Salim bin Itr, radiyallahu anhu, he passed by a cemetery and he felt the need to answer the call of nature. So, somebody told him, his companion said to him, Hazrat, why don't you go here in the cemetery, inside somewhere, and you can answer the call of nature. And look at his answer. He says, I am modest in the presence of those who are living. And just as I am modest in the presence of those who are living, I am also modest in the presence of those who have passed on. Allahu Akbar. I am modest. I have modesty. I feel shy to answer the call of nature in the midst of those who have left this world. So subhanallah, there is a lesson in this beautiful parable from this personality, Hazrat Sayyidina Salim, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, who says, I feel shy and I feel modest to answer the call of nature amongst those deceased, just as I feel modest to answer the call of nature amongst those who are living. So we think, Mawasab, ki ab unka intiqal ho gaya, ab kahan se humko dekh rahe hain? Or how will this cause grief and pain to them? Can Mawasab shed some light on this as well? Tramping on the qabr, talking bad stuff in the graveyard. How can this actually affect the grave, Mawasab, or the person in the qabr?
Actually, it causes a lot of distress. And as our subject for today, that it is very true that it causes them grief and pain. And they feel it. And they hear everything. There is a research of Al Hazrat about this particular topic, that the dead can hear. So this is no secret that yes, they can hear, they can feel whatever we do. Even it is against the adab and the respect of the grave to burn anything on top of the grave itself, burn a candle or agarbatti, any sort of fire. Yes, if there are people around the qabr, so, and if there are people reading the Quran by the qabr, yes, at the grave side, not on the grave itself, at the grave side, yes, you can light the lamp, you can put a bulb there, or any other, you know, torches nowadays, that is even a better thing to do instead of burning something, you know, and inshallah, that can be arranged, because that is for the purpose of the person who's reading there. And loban can be put there for fragrance around the qabr, not on the qabr
Even
itself.
Even grass, masab, grass and plants, flowers and roses.
Definitely, it is, alhamdulillah, is very, very beneficial to the deceased. For as long as they remain green and healthy, subhanallah, they help alleviate the azab of the qabr. According to some narrations, alhamdulillah. So that is also very true. We learned from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where there was a twig there. And the whole narration about it, that how it helped the deceased in the qabr.
Subhanallah.
It makes a tasbih of Almighty Allah.
Subhanallah. For as long as it's green. So this is, that is there. If we putting water onto the qabr itself, you know, to water those plants, that is very beneficial.
What does Allah Hazrat say about putting water on the qabr, Masa?
He says, alhamdulillah, he says it is sunnah. After the deceased is buried there, we can put water over the grave. But don't keep doing it for no purpose, you know.
Purpose.
Yeah. If there are plants there, yes, you can water the plants because that serves a purpose to keep it green so they can make the tasbih longer. As long as they stay green, it will reduce the azab of the qabr because according to Al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, azab of the qabr is haqq. So, alhamdulillah, that helps the deceased. So, in whichever way we can help, this is our duty to do that, to do the necessary. But on the other hand, what's hurtful to them, we should also abstain from it, you know, as a society, as a community. Because if they were living, we wouldn't stand and watch them suffer, you know, in this state. So why do we treat them in such a way after they pass away, like they are nothing now?
You know?
Because that's not the concept of death in Islam. It's just a separation of body and soul.
If the consideration is nothing, that nothing is there, then why did the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that your grave could either be a garden from amongst the gardens of Jannah or either a pit from amongst the pits of hell?
Allah.
If there was no punishment in the grave, if there is no punishment for the wrong that the deceased has committed when he was physically alive, then why has Allah azza wa jalla placed punishment in the qabr? And can punishment be given to a person who has no pain or no feelings in his body? So this is a logical question, dear viewers, that you should ask yourself, that Islam is based with meaning. Islam has a lot of meaning in it. And Islam has left no stone unturned when it came to all these aspects, dear viewers. Allahu Akbar. You will find the answer to every question in Islam. Subhanallah. So we learn, Masab, as you have mentioned, these amazing points regarding placing water on the qabr, not unnecessarily. So we do not want to extravagantly waste as well. But rather, we want to choose that path which is moderate, Masab, in Islam. Inshallah. Whereas we don't go extreme and we waste at the same time. Because some misconception in society, as Amir al-Sunnah during one of the Madani Mudakiras, even, mashallah, mentioned his Madani pearls by the question of a questioner, mashallah, who asked a question. And sometimes people even think, Masab, that what's the purpose? As Masab mentioned, there's a purpose for everything. There's a reason for everything. So what was the purpose for one to put water? Masab finished mentioned that this will keep the plants healthy and green. But if the maqsad and the intention was that the water will cool the grave or will reduce the azab in the qabr. Now, regarding the azab in the qabr, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave his madani pools that you can place a flower, you can place some grass. And anything which is green and fresh, subhanallah, and until it glorifies Allah azza wa jal, the azab in the qabr will be reduced. But on the other hand, if one wants to go further than that and assume through the waswas of the devil that, you know what, aside from that, this is another plan to cause coolness in the qabr, because there could be fire there, he could be punished over there, the water from above will cool the beneath or the inside of the qabr. So the answer to this, dear viewers of Madani channel, will be that for no reason, there was no need maybe to put water, any person may have wasted one bucket of water in this way, one jug of water. So rather, you can put some flowers around there, inshallah, azzawajal. And the main maqsad to go to a graveyard, Masab, is to actually read Suratul Fatiha, Fatiha Khani. You recite some ayat of the Holy Quran Park, recite the four quls, and you make dua. So dear viewers of Madani channel, it is so important to remember your loved one. It is so important to keep the ta'alluq barqarar, to keep it going. How can you keep this ta'alluq and rishta and connection strong? By not forgetting them after they have demise. And this is the truth, Masab. How long will I be remembered? Or how long will we be remembered till our children and grandchildren?
That's where, alhamdulillah, Masab, this concept comes to mind that, you know, after our loved ones or family members or people we associate with, we pass away, it doesn't break the connection. Because it doesn't mean now that they are no more. They still exist, but their existence is of a kind that we have no idea. Sometimes it makes you think they are even more lively than us.
Allah. Because Subhanallah, Subhanallah.
So it's a very beautiful piece of Arabic statement that Al-Mawtu Jasarun Yusilul Habib Ilal Habib.
Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah.
Death is nothing but a bridge that connects the lover to the beloved.
Kya baat hai Majid.
So we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's what the death enables us. It's an enabler for us to reach our beloved.
Allah. Subhanallah.
In Alam al-Barzakh, when you send some Isul al-Sawab to your deceased, then this is one of the reasons also that we give the names. Murana sahab, please, you know, mention these names. Because their names are called out.
Allah.
So-and-so, you know, son of so-and-so, come and receive. And in a beautiful tray, they receive these gifts. That your son sent this, your daughter sent this. Imagine how happy they are getting.
Subhanallah.
We're not there to witness it. That's a spiritual world. And we'll only realize it after our passing.
After our passing.
But if we trained our kids to do the same, to create waladun salih, you know, my children, will they remember me in du'as? We don't know. But if I'm training them, and if, you know, for example, if we keep them in such an environment like Dawud Islam is, where there's a constant reminder, then we have hope that our children or grandchildren, they will remember
they
us
will remember
after
us
our passing.
Most definitely. And so, dear viewers of Madani Channel, take this very, very serious, because this is not only the hadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrations which we are listening to, but rather it is the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, where He Azza wa Jalla had stated in the Holy Quran Pak, and those who came after them, make the plea in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, forgive us and forgive those who preceded us in faith. So this is the translation of the Holy Quran Pak, which we have mentioned, and the summary of the ayat of the Holy Quran Pak, so which refers to making dua maghfirat for those who passed on before you. Jiha. Therefore, when we enter the Qabristan, we say, Assalamu alaikum. May peace be upon you, O dwellers of the grave. May Allah forgive us all. And soon we will join you. Surely you have left before us. So they have passed on before us, and soon we are to join them. So when we know that is our destination as well, and we are to go there, can't we make sure that before we reach there, our home is already set up and ready for us, Mansab? It's so important, dear viewers of Madani Channel, that we shouldn't cause grief to others, so that when we are there one day, nobody cause harm and taklif to us as well. If we have this desire and we keep making dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal to take us in the state of Iman, and you do those actions which will assist and help and aid you at during those crucial and difficult moments, those moments when your soul is being separated from the body, then most probably, inshallah, through the blessings of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Azza wa Jalla will enable us to recite that article of faith. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa sallallahu. So keep making the dua, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. And now we move towards our segment in which we asked a question earlier: on which day did Allah Azza wa Jal create the angels, dear viewers? And now we move towards our callers. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Jiha. Let's take in the first caller.
My name is Qasim Khalid. The answer is Wednesday.
My name is Sayyid Ramadan from Devon. The answer is Friday.
My name is Yahya. I think the answer is Wednesday.
This is Nizam from Durban, South Africa, Sufi Nagar. The answer to your question, Maulana Saab, is on Thursdays. On Thursday.
We say shukran to all our callers, and mashallah. So, brothers in Islam, who has given the correct answer? And many of the viewers out there may be still assuming what is the correct answer to this question. Now, let's look at our screens and see what is the correct answer to this question. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wednesday, mashallah, subhanallah, dear viewers, on a Wednesday, Allah Azza wa Jalla created the angels on Wednesday. This information, subhanallah, we get, of course, from narrations, and it is from the beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who would give us the knowledge of the unseen. So, dear viewers, it was on this day He Azza wa Jal had created angels. Can you imagine the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? However, dear viewers, let's speak about the day itself before we go further into our discussion. Wednesday, Muasab, any day, you know, these days of the week, of course, as they say, Monday is known to be, In other words, Peer Kadin, Peer Sharif, mashallah. Why it's called Peer Kadin? Scholars have named it because it was the day in which the beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had arrived in this world, Mu'asab. And subhanallah, that day which the beloved Nabi himself would bless, that entire day and every moment in the day becomes blessed as well, Mu'asab. And therefore the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fast on a Monday as well. Now let's speak about, mashallah, Wednesday. Just as Friday is a Mubarak day as well, and it is such a day in which du'as are answered as well, and we even have the Jummah prayer on a Friday. Likewise, dear brothers in Islam, Wednesday is also a Mubarak day. Buzurgan al-Din have stated that du'as are answered on a Wednesday. Subhanallah. And specifically, timings have been given from Dhuhr to Asr, between Dhuhr and Asr. If anyone had supplicated in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal and earnestly made du'a in the court of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, his supplications and du'as will be answered. So, there are many other blessings, Mu'asab, regarding Wednesday.
No, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. Even Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu, he mentions that whenever I face any crucial matter
Allahu
and
Akbar,
I make dua on a Wednesday between Dhuhr and Asr, then that matter is resolved.
Subhanallah.
Zughanuddin, Mashaikh, Sufiya, the pious people, they have said when you're starting any work, try to start on a Wednesday, inshallah, it will reach completion.
Subhanallah.
So there's wisdoms behind
there's wisdom
this,
behind
according to their, you know, tests Allahu and trials and experience as well.
Subhanallah.
We follow them because they followed the pious people before them. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, this is what Dawud Islami, one of the things it teaches us, to tread in the footsteps of the pious people. Otherwise, who are we going to follow? We follow our own nafs then, our own desires and, you know, society. Rather, we follow the pious people who have been through it, and through the experience they share this with us, these secrets they share with us. We follow it, inshallah, then we will see the benefit of it.
Mu'asab, mashallah, we're learning about these Mubarak teachings of Islam, subhanallah, which will benefit us in both worlds. What are some of the adab that one should, of course, maintain when he is in the Qabristan, Mu'asab? We have been commanded in the hadith to visit the Qabristan, Mu'asab, taki hum khud reflect kare ki one day my turn will come. And Qabristan and graveyard is a place when you see, you will contemplate. You will reflect when you see that this is the place where I one day will also come. But Mu'asab, instead, some people have made it a place of fun and joy. Any Madani pearls can you give on this topic?
Yeah, Mu'asab, actually the fact that the name of the Qabristan in some places, you will see written Shahr-e Khamoshah, meaning it is the city
of silence,
of peace, of silence and tranquility.
Allah.
This is all the incorporated.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
So, how do you, as a person now, as a person who's sane-minded, you know, and who's logical, it doesn't make sense to go and make noise there in a place that is preserved and kept, and its dignity is there. That, you know, it's a serene place, you know. Like, for example, if you are busy, if you are engrossed and you are focusing very hard on some matter, and somebody comes and start making noise, how would you feel about that?
Yes. Very disturbing, Mu'asab.
Yes, it's very disturbing. And that is a place that is most peaceful. When we go to the Qabristan, there are many ways where we need to maintain the dignity of Sahib-e Qabr. Because we shouldn't address them as, or think of them as, you know, that they are non-existent. Because Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, what do you think about the trampling of the grave? He was asked. And he says that, well, just as I feel it wrong to cause harm and distress to the living person, I feel the same of doing the same thing to the deceased.
Allah.
Because they are just as alive. We just don't have an idea of their living, how, what's the nature of their life. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, with regards to the life of the shuhada, that they are alive, but we don't have an understanding of their living. Therefore, we are misled about it. So, if this is the case that they can hear, and their hearing is even more sensitive than our hearing, as it is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, that should also make us, you know, more cautious of making any unnecessary noise. And about walking in the graveyard, how one should enter. One should be very, very careful where I'm putting my foot on, because there must be one person residing there under, and I will place my foot over it. Best thing would be to remove our shoes and then enter the grave. And Sayyidina Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, it's a hadith as well, that I would rather walk on burning coals and edge of the sword instead of walking on a qabr.
This itself teaches us how serious this matter is, Mohan Sahib. People of this nature, yani great pious people like that, Mohan Sahib mentioned these statements, and us with our shoes, Mohan Sahib, shows how much of respect we have for the deceased in the Kabristan. So we say shukran to Mohan Sahib for sharing these amazing Madani pearls and adab and akhlaq and mannerism of entering the Kabristan. We say shukran to Mohan Sahib as well for sharing all these amazing Madani pearls with us, and in which most definitely our mind has now opened with regards to the adab of the Kabristan. Leave alone the Kabristan itself, in regards to the deceased himself, as we said that the moment the soul separates from the body, whatever or however he was treated when he was alive, even few seconds before, the same has to be maintained. Starting from the bath, the ritual bath is given, the ghusl is given, the water temperature should not be too cold or too hot, but rather when he was physically alive, the temperature that he would use to have a bath was the same. That's why they say lukewarm water, Mu'asab. Taki is not too cold, it's not too hot. When you're carrying the janazah, do not tilt too much, because he would shift inside the bier, which will cause him to also get hurt. Even when you're lowering him in the qabr, from the shrouding, and therefore all these acts in Islam has immense reward in sawab as well. Do you know the reward of sawab? It is stated in a hadith by Hazrat Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The one who partook in the ghusl, the one who partook in the kafan, dafan, as well as in the janazah, and he performed or he applied perfume and itr on the person who passed away, all his sins will be forgiven, just as like the day he was born. یعنی اس کے گناہ دھل جائیں گے صرف اس وجہ سے کہ اس نے ادب اور رسپیکٹ کیا کسی مرحوم کا. So can you imagine, dear viewers of Madani Channel, how important it is for us not to cause grief and takleef to them? So inshallah azawajal, we end on this note, making the dua made by Hazrat Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an, and we ask Allah azawajal to allow and make the angels say ameen to our dua, as mashallah the viewers of Madani Channel who have joined us can also partake in this dua, and thereafter inshallah we will be back with another episode and program on your Madani Channel. And we end on this note, as Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu an earnestly supplicated in the court of Allah azawajal, Allahumma arzuqna shahadatan fi sabilik waja'al موتي في بلد رسولك صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم امين بجاه النبي الامين صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم الله الله start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.